The reading comes from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing on Christopher as he comes to speak, and on each of us. May we hear your real word to us today, this Christmas time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Ian. Good morning and a very Merry Christmas. Who was visited by Santa Claus last night? Hands up. Ooh, some. Not all. Ooh, this is a bit worrying. There are more at Aldham than there are here. Make of that what you will. And what did he bring? Did he bring good things? Did he? You had a good Christmas stocking, did you, Lydia? Excellent. And who's eaten most of their Christmas stocking already? Okay, don't answer. Ian has. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I work in insurance. And one of the crucial things in insurance are the clauses on your policy, aren't they? It's the fine print somewhere at the bottom, which, if you've ever made an insurance claim, probably means that your claim isn't valid. People are nodding and smiling. They know the scene only too well. And if you have one of these, there are lots of clauses involved on this. Every time you have to update your operating system, it says, "Do you agree to all our terms and conditions?" Doesn't it? Who's actually read those? Heavens. One. I'm impressed. I'm very, very impressed. Oh, no, two. I'm very impressed because very few people do. And there's a company called PC Project in America who realised that very few people did actually read the end-user licence agreement. And so they hid on page 46 of it, would you believe, they hid a little something which said, if you send us an email when you've read this far, we'll send you $1,000. It took 3 months and 3,000 downloads before their bluff was called. And there was another story which I read recently of a company who, on one of the sort of latter pages of their end user license agreement, said that by agreeing to use their software and agreeing to their terms, you actually agreed to hand your children over into penal servitude for them. And it was only when somebody was actually rung up and said, OK, we'd like to come and collect your kids, please, that people realised what was going on. And it occurs to me that there is a Santa Claus. He isn't just Santa Claus, there is a Santa Claus. We've got a music clip, see if you can spot the Santa Claus. Okay, who spotted the Santa Claus? Okay. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. The message is clear, isn't it? If you don't behave, Santa Claus isn't going to come. We have a tradition, even now in our family. But when I was a child, my sister and I used to grab our stockings in the morning, we'd go and sit on the end of our parents' bed, and we'd all open our stockings together as a family. And indeed, you know, this morning Lottie came and jumped on our bed, and the dogs as well. And we all opened our stockings together. But I was very definitely told as a child that if I didn't behave during the year, instead of a stocking, I'd have a lump of coal. And I just remember the potential shame of sitting on the end of my parents' bed, holding a lump of coal, trying not to get coal dust on their sheets, while they and my sister opened their lovely stockings. It's all sort of quite conditional, isn't it? Nowadays, of course, there's a website. There's a website for everything. But there's a website that you can go to see how you're doing, how your behaviour is matching up. And it can give you some useful tips. And I took a moment, actually, to look one or two people up to see how they've been doing. Ian? Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Nice, but has a little room for improvement. Could be a better listener, but has a kind heart. Often sets a good example to others. Was very nice last Saturday. Hopefully, we'll keep up the good work. I looked up Andrew Waters. He isn't here, which is probably as well, actually, because knowing Andrew, he'd be quite embarrassed. But of Andrew, it said, nice. As a matter of fact, one of the nicest years ever. Really helped the family and friends when they need it. Is always polite, extremely honest. What's more, adds a good sense of humour to situations, which is always a nice touch. Don't go overboard with the sweeties, though. Think of your teeth. And remember, faithful brushing always scores points on my list. So maybe there are some tips there that we can all take forward for next year. So it's great that Ian and Andrew both made the grade. But as I say, it is a little bit conditional, isn't it? If you're not good, he's not going to come and see you. And it strikes me that this stands in stark contrast to the Jesus clauses. I've picked out a few of them. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate today, that all who believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ask, and you will receive. I will never forsake you. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I'm sure you know plenty more. I'm sure you have your favourites. If you want any more, have a look in here. They're all here. And Jesus clauses aren't like insurance clauses or like the Santa Claus, which talk of excluding things. The Jesus clauses are including. They're comforting, heartwarming, encouraging, welcoming. I look at Jesus and I see just how fallen I am. And yet he, the perfect man, the perfect God, loves, longs to have a relationship with me. It's said that there's nothing we can do to make him love us anymore, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us any less. So this Christmas, don't focus on Santa Claus. Don't focus on the transitory, the earthly, the physical, tangible pleasures of the season. Santa Claus isn't going to be seen for another 364 days. Focus instead on the baby whose birth we celebrate today. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who will be with us always, who will always welcome us with open arms, if we will but welcome him. Amen.
Thank you, Christopher. Now, last week I was in school and the children were behaving really well. And I had to ask the teachers, two or three of them were wearing a necklace with a big red bauble on the end of the necklace. I said, what's that for? What's that in aid of? Ah, they said, we've told the children this is a Santa cam. He's watching you. It sounded a bit scary to me, I must say. And exactly as Christopher says, it's all conditional, isn't it? He's going to find out if you're naughty or nice. But Jesus, of course, his love is unconditional and very caring to all of us.